The Milwaukee Journal sent a Milwaukee Brewers podcast special Christian Yelich edition. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast. On the other line, we have Todd Rosiak. He is at spring training down in Arizona. The Milwaukee Brewers announcing officially on Friday that Christian Yelich, their superstar outfielder, has signed a lengthy extension, 7 years on top of what we already have. He'll be here for 9 years as a Milwaukee Brewer, in addition to the two great seasons he's already had. So, Todd, I imagine this word got out about this a couple days ago. So this has been something that a lot of people have been aware of. Just being around the team, being around the other players. I'm sure today was a great day, but this whole week has to have been, I guess, just set the tone, the mood of the clubhouse this week, knowing that Christian Yelich is, you know, on the cusp here, signing a lengthy contract that's going to be in excess of $200 million.
The clubhouse wasn't too affected by it, I would say. I mean, players are obviously happy to hear that he's staying, and you know, it's great for the franchise. But these guys are so focused on the day to day that's their priority. You know, I'm sure you read the story. Lorenzo Cain had no idea that the news had even broke the day after. So that kind of tells you where he's at. But I think the organization obviously is the entity that's, you know, thrilled that they were able to get this done. You know, really kind of a landmark deal for this franchise. Everybody, I think, assumed that, you know, the Brewers were going to eventually have to either trade him or let him walk away just because they wouldn't be able to afford him in free agency. And as we learned today, Mark Adonazio told us that Christian Yelich was the one who approached the Brewers about this way back around Halloween. So this has been four and a half months in the making. A lot of ups and downs, it sounds like, in the negotiations, but both parties were motivated to get a deal done, and it works out well for both parties. The Brewers get a franchise guy who, you know, most likely is going to end his career in a Brewers uniform, which is what they want and what Yelich wanted. And, you know, Yelich admittedly took a little bit of a hometown discount to do it, but he told us it was not about the money. It was about a fit. It was about teammates. It's about competing and feeling that the Brewers are going to have a chance to be competitive most years that he's here. And, you know, both sides got something out of it. So it was a mutually beneficial deal and a huge day for Milwaukee sports, I would say.
I love how Lorenzo Cain, who is not on social media, very clearly does not want to be on social media. He didn't know about the dunk contest until the day of. He's very much not invested or not patched in. And I love how you guys get to break the news to him when things like this happen. But going back to that hometown discount, at first blush, I mean, obviously this is a ton of money. It's double any signature that the Brewers have gotten in their franchise history. It's twice as much as the extension that they signed Ryan Braun for in terms of total dollar amount commitment. But I guess what just shocks me is that this guy, he's been here 2 years. He obviously has a good relationship with the Milwaukee franchise and the fan base, and that's fine. But this is a guy who's from the West Coast, who's played on the East Coast in Miami, which is perceptibly a much friendlier market for a young, rich, single ball player who, you know, has a lot of options, even though the baseball part of it wasn't very good. I'm just stunned that he embraced Milwaukee like this. And I know there's sort of an inferiority complex for some fans, feeling like a lot of big stars are going to walk, go somewhere else. We've seen it happen in this market time and time and time again. I think we're a little burned by it. Do you get a sense? I mean, what is it about Milwaukee that would, you know, charm a guy, a superstar player, to want to spend the rest of his career or most of it here in the Midwest when he's seen what the coasts are like, and yet he chose this tiny market in the middle of Wisconsin?
He talked about that today, and I think the best way to put it is that Yelich is a very low-maintenance guy. You know, he's not a guy that needs cameras in his face all the time, microphones in his face. You know, he's not a guy that, you know, is going to be like, you know, some of the higher-profile athletes in other sports who, you know, you're seeing on TMZ out in the clubs or doing this and doing that. He's told us in the past he's pretty much a homebody, and he'll walk down to Starbucks or something like that. Very much a family oriented guy, very close to his mom and his brothers. And you know, it's a town that can fit certain personalities and certain athletes. You remember back to Zach Greinke, he always talked about how Milwaukee was a good fit for him, and of course he's a very low key guy too. So you know, I like to tell people that haven't been to Milwaukee before, you know, other athletes and stuff, it's a sneaky, cool city. You know, people just see it's the upper Midwest, and you know, you hear about the cheese and the beer and everything like that, but you know, it's got four seasons. The spring and summer and early fall are usually pretty darn spectacular. You got a lake, you got festivals, you got all that stuff. So, you know, for Christian Yelich, that's apparently all he needs, and he's happy with it. He said he was surprised that he's been, you know, drawn to this city as quickly as he has in his first 2 years, and that the fit has been so good. But, you know, he mentioned it time and time again, fit. This is a great fit. It's a perfect fit. And, you know, what better way to describe it, this relationship now between Yelich and the Brewers?
I hope our guy can even get to one of those festivals without the hordes of crowds around him. He's going to have a hard time going out in public. He probably already did, but he will now, especially. I know it's more than just the goodwill, but can you kind of explain, because Mike Trout's got a $400 million total deal. Mookie Betts is probably going to fetch something in that neighborhood. Christian Yelich is in that stratosphere of the greatest players in baseball today. Can you kind of explain why Christian Yelich, you know, even if he'd gone on the open market when his contract was up, that it may not have approached that number? Like, why is it that Christian Yelich isn't commanding $400 million and was really, you know, just slightly less than half that beyond simply wanting to play here? Cause I feel like there's more to it than just that.
Yeah. I think age is part of it. You know, he's 28 now, and those other guys that you mentioned are younger, you know, and they sign their deals at a younger age. And that's a big part of it. I think probably too, the unknown with the labor situation, what's going to happen with that down the road. You know, if there's a strike or a lockout or whatever you might want to say, you know, who knows what happens on the other end of that. So, yeah, I mean, Yelich left probably $10 million a year on the table, at least if you would have waited until free agency. But, again, it's, you're kind of, you know, how much money do you need, I guess, is one way to put it. You're taking the security now and you know, bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, however you want to say it. You know, he's still going to be paid handsomely. And like I said before, it's a deal that works for both sides. The small market Brewers get a team-friendly deal. Yelich gets the security and gets to be paid more like the superstar that he is. And, you know, he said he's happy with the situation. He's confident that the Brewers are going to continue to try to build a winner during his tenure with the team, and everything you know, ends up as a happy ending to this story. Obviously remains to be seen. Now the pressure's on Christian Yelich to produce and to continue to put up numbers like that. He was joking around before that he's obviously set a pretty high bar his first 2 years. He's got to stay healthy. You know, as you get older, obviously that's harder to do. Look at Ryan Braun now. So, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen in the meantime, but you know, on paper, this is a tremendous deal for the Brewers. Yelich is happy, so it's a win-win for both sides.
It was mentioned in the press conference that Yelich approached Mark Attanasio or approached the Brewers in some capacity around Halloween, October. So a lot of months have gone by, and presumably there's been some negotiating back and forth. Did you get a sense today or get a chance to ask about what maybe some of the finer points were in terms of this negotiation process? Maybe how it went, but also what were maybe the last sticking points that had to be hammered out before they could sign on the dotted line?
From what I understand, that really wasn't discussed, and I don't think either party would be, you know, really crazy about that stuff getting out. I don't think it didn't seem like it was a really hardball negotiation, just based off of how they were talking and how it was presented and everything. The interesting thing was that neither side felt like they needed an opt. You know, Yelich didn't want an opt out. Brewers, you know, the no trade clause was not discussed. It was, you know, Yelich. Joe Longo, his agent, told Tom Hoadrecourt that you know, instead of an opt out, this was an opt in. So that's a good way to look at it. But it's just you know, I think it's a case of Mark Attanasio, you know, a master negotiator himself, and David Stearns and Joe Longo, Yelich's agent. Yelich was involved in this to some degree, you know, sat in on some meetings and everything. So, you know, I guess you just start out with the broad strokes and you start moving toward a deal, and you know, there's a lot of give and take, and eventually you get to that point where both sides are happy and you sign the deal. To me, the biggest surprise about this all was that it was kept under wraps for as long as it was in today's day and age. stuff tends to get out. But we have a pretty good authority that this was kept to an insanely small circle of people who knew about it. And that was how they were able to keep it tight and not get out. And, you know, really 3 days beforehand, before announcing it, that it got out. That's pretty remarkable today with social media and just all the connections that people seem to have. So pretty interesting overall. And now it's time to play baseball, as Yelich said earlier today.
I think the other question Brewers fans have, once they get over the excitement of the whole situation, is how this may have informed the rest of their offseason in terms of signing players, their payroll. We've had spent a lot of discussion on the payroll and what the Brewers were capable of doing. I think there's still a little bit of consternation about the makeup of the roster for a lot of fans, that it isn't as perceptively as good because they lost a guy like Yasmani Grandal or Mike Moustakas. How much do you think this factored in? Were they thinking the whole time, okay, we're going to sign Christian Yelich, so we have to be a little more judicious with our offseason, you know, our offseason signings? Do you think it played some role, no role? How would you sort of, what's your sense of how it played out?
Well, my guess is that the how crazy the free agent market went this offseason probably still played the biggest factor in their decision to do what they did. Obviously, the details of Yelich's contract are out now, and the next 2 years is because his salary remains the same. So it's not a huge salary, but you know, you're looking, if you want to, you know, go 4 years for Yasmani Grandal, let's say, then all of a sudden you've got Yelich making $26 million in two seasons from now. And then, you know, you have Yasmani Grandal making big money, and all of a sudden it gets harder to start putting a team together. So, you know, the Brewers did the next best thing, I guess. You know, they're banking on guys like Sogard and Smoke and Jed Jerko having bounce back years. Josh Lindblom is kind of a wild card. Brett Anderson, you kind of know what you're getting there. So they're going to need a lot of things to go right in order to get back to where they've been the last couple years. They're going to need a bunch of those guys to play really well. And obviously good health is a key too. Keeping Yelich healthy is key number one, I would say. But, you know, now they have cost certainty moving forward. That's a phrase that Mark Adonazio likes to use a lot. And, you know, they can start doing their calculations and their projections and everything, and looking at, you know, the guys that are going to be available potentially by a trade or free agency in the meantime. And then you can start putting things together in the coming years.
Maybe just to get your opinion on this, because I got to be honest, I did not see this coming. I did not think the Brewers would be competitive in signing Christian Yelich at the end of his free agent deal. Figured he's a guy from California. There's some big spending teams out in California that might have interest in him. I just didn't dream. Like, I feel very confident, for example, that the Bucks are going to re-sign Giannis, but just did not think this Christian Yelich thing would work out, and then to work out like it did so early in the game. What is it, as far as just your opinion, does this catch you off guard? Does this surprise you that the Brewers and Yelich were able to make this work? Or do you think that this was maybe the path they were always headed toward?
Yeah, it takes me by surprise as well. I think anybody who's followed Milwaukee sports and followed the Brewers particularly, you know, we're all well aware of the financial constraints of being a small market team. And although Mark Adonazio has never been shy about spending money, they have a budget that they need to maintain from year to year and a payroll. And, you know, you just look at the makeup of baseball and the finances now, and the cards were definitely stacked against them keeping him. You know, we asked Mark Adonazio about that at Brewers on Deck. You know, is he getting time to talk about a contract extension with Christian Yelich? And he said, you know, obviously time is on our side now, but if you look ahead another year, then all of a sudden the clock is really ticking and your leverage goes away as a team. So, you know, definitely surprising. I don't think anybody could have ever guessed that the Brewers would be paying, you know, one player $26 million a year once that kicks in for Yelich. But hey, more power to the Brewers. Credit to the Brewers for getting it done, and credit to Christian Yelich for getting it done as well. It's Brewers fans should be very happy and very excited, because not only is this guy a tremendous player, one of the best in baseball, but also a great guy, a great representative of the team, of the organization, the city, the state. It's a guy that really understands what, you know, what sports means, what the Brewers mean to the city, and you know, just a great guy to have around for a long time. So this is, like I kept saying it earlier, but it's a win-win for both sides.
Yeah, really came into his own as a personality, I feel like, in 2019. You know, did the body issue, active on Twitter, kind of doing everything with sort of a wink and a smile. He seems like he's very comfortable, and now Brewers fans get treated to that for the next pretty much the next decade. Thanks, Todd Broziak, for joining us again. Find everything he has to say at jsonline.com. Lots of coverage of Christian Yelich up right now. You can find Tom Hodricourt's column and stories from both Todd and Tom reporting live from Arizona. Spring training continues on. The Brewers home opener 20 days away, but I know a lot of people are looking forward to it. Thanks, Todd, for joining us. Any last thoughts, or is that all she wrote?
Well, I didn't hear this personally, but I had a colleague of mine tell me they were listening to the Brewer game at home on the radio, and Bob Uecker apparently said on the broadcast that he's going to see if he can find a magazine that will allow him to pose nude so he can go to Mark Adonazio for a raise.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, there's a visual for you right there. Huh?
Didn't we already have him in a swimsuit in a Sports Illustrated a few years back? I feel like that's quite enough.
Yeah, I agree with you there, JR.
Bob Uecker is the best. I love that. Well, thanks again, Todd. We will chat with you again on our regular edition of the podcast sometime in the next couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, JR.